Over the weekend, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen tried to ease concerns over inflation. It's now at its highest level in three decades. She told CBS on Sunday that rising inflation is a pandemic story.
I think it's important to realize that the cause of this inflation is the pandemic. It all but shut down our economy. It boosted unemployment to almost 15%, and we've been opening up in fits and starts.
When the economy recovers from COVID, she said, prices will ease. Derek Thompson has been thinking about this. He's staff writer at The Atlantic, and he joins us every Monday to talk about what's on his mind. Derek, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thank you.
All right, gas, food, housing prices, the price of everything seems to be up. We haven't seen inflation like this in a generation, so remind us why this matters.
It matters because people need to buy gas to move around. They need to buy cars. And right now, inflation, especially in the energy and transportation sector, is just about as high as any print on record. Gasoline prices are up 50% if you look at the unadjusted 12-month average. Used car prices up 27%. Energy and transportation are really leading the way. And it's trickling into other things. You know, there are vehicles that require gas to move things around the country, like, say, food. And so as a result, if transportation is expensive, then you might pay for it at the grocery store. And as a result, you see food prices going up as well. You know, people, even though their financial situations in this country are better than they've been overall in many years, often they can't really enjoy their higher savings and their higher wages because prices are going up all over the place.
Yeah, and I just saw food prices by some measures are up 12% over last year. Mm. We just heard Janet Yellen and Jerome Powell, chair of the Federal Reserve, have said all year that this is a temporary thing, that it's connected to the pandemic. And when cases ease, the factories and the ships and the trucks and all those drivers will revert to normal. But what is the counter argument that this might last longer than they think?
Yeah. Well, before I give the counter argument, let me say the counter argument might be wrong. It might simply be the case that the inflation that we're experiencing right now is indeed transitory. The counter argument, though, is that you should believe that inflation might last because it is lasting. Inflation theoretically could have started to go down over the summer and early fall. It didn't. This is partly because of the stimulus and economic recovery plans that were assigned by Biden and President Trump. But it's also because you've seen these supply chain snafus. You've seen a labor shortage in the U.S. And as a result, companies are charging more for goods. If you have a shortage of labor and a shortage of stuff, and fundamentally inflation is a lot of money, a lot of spending cash, seeking a relatively finite amount of stuff, you're going to see the price for that stuff rise. So you have those effects. You have the fact of early retirement, declining immigration, which is sort of sapping the economy of prime age workers. This is forcing companies to raise wages for workers that are out there, somewhat good news. But those higher wages should also keep prices elevated. So, you know, I think there is overall a pretty good argument for the idea that we're going to see relatively lasting inflation in this economy.
Well, and I see some economists describing a wild card in all this as being psychology. That is, you know, companies who think prices are going to keep going up, they're going to raise prices more. And consumers who think we're going to have inflation, well, they're going to buy more to avoid high prices later and keep pushing up inflation. So is that an unpredictable part of this whole picture?
It is unpredictable, and certainly when you get to talking about hyperinflation, which is not what we're seeing, I think, that is often the psychological dynamic that is at play. If the price of oranges are going up $1 every day, then what you're going to do is you're going to buy a lot of oranges, right? Now, what does that do? That means that the store that everyone else is trying to buy oranges at suddenly has basically no more oranges to sell. So they can, you know, 10x the price of oranges and someone will pay for the oranges. And so, you know, the scarcity multiplied by demand creates this hyperinflationary spiral. To be clear, I don't think that's what we are seeing. I don't think that's what we will see next year. A lot of the problems that you heard Jerome Powell talk about, they are going to resolve themselves. The supply chain snafus are very likely to get better. The amount of savings in the economy is likely to come down a little bit, and some people that are staying on the sidelines will have to jump into the labor force and will have our labor shortage at least somewhat ameliorated. So I do think that there are reasons to think that inflation is not going to hit this sort of psychological death spiral that some fear. At the same time, I believe the argument that we'll be looking at a little bit more inflation for the near future.
Now, very quickly, the Federal Reserve is obviously watching this. They've told us they're planning to take their foot off the economic gas pedal by reducing bond purchases, which can kind of pump money into the economy and feed higher prices. If inflation lasts longer than they think, what can the Fed do?
Well, the Fed can reduce bond purchases. That's true. They can raise interest rates. That's true. And the other thing they can do, which sounds a little touchy-feely but is actually really important, is that the Fed can move markets and, by extension, corporate and even consumer behavior by just talking. If the Fed says, for example, we're not going to raise interest rates until labor force participation rates increase by 3%, companies will invest differently. So they can buy different. They can raise interest rates. But they can also just communicate their vision of the future.
All right. Derek Townsend of The Atlantic, thanks as always.
Thank you.